And I'm going to ask if you would, please turn with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation. And that is the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. So that's the very end of the last book of the Bible. So basically, we're at the very, very end of the Bible. It's practically the last page of the Bible. And I'm going to really encourage you to have the Bible open to that passage this morning. I think it'll really help make the message a lot more interesting and a lot it'll make a lot more sense. It'll be a lot easier to follow what I'm saying if you have the passage open. You can see what I'm talking about and what I'm referring to. So if you brought your own Bible, I encourage you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Otherwise, there should be a blue Bible in the rack in front of you, and you can simply turn to page 1,327. That's probably the easiest way to find it. It's page 1,327. And again, I think it'll really help you to have that open in front of you this morning. While you're turning there, this week, our theme for Art Camp has been where good things grow. Where good things grow. We've been using the image of a garden because that's a familiar image in the Bible. The Bible begins with the Garden of Eden, and Jesus often used the image of a garden to teach us spiritual truth. So this week we use the image of a garden, and we talk about where good things grow. Well, this morning we want to wrap this up by considering together how God is the one who causes good things to grow. God is the one who causes good things to grow. So again, if you have your Bible open in front of you, I'm going to begin in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5. So just five short verses beginning in Revelation chapter 2 with verse 1. I remind you, this is the word of God. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, the reading of God's word. Now, I'll ask you to join me, and we're going to pray just very briefly and ask God to help us understand and apply this passage. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you have given us the Bible. It is your word to us, and we ask now for the insight and the clarity to understand it and apply it. Father, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what do you do when you want something to grow? Okay, what do you do when you really, really want something to grow? Let's say you want your garden to grow. What do you need to do when you want your garden to grow? Well, you need to plant something, right? If you want your garden to grow, first you have to plant it. You have to plant something like a seed. And seeds are amazing. You know, a seed typically is pretty small. And yet everything's in that little seed. Everything that plant will ever become, all that life is there in the seed. Typically, seeds are pretty small. It's hard to believe that whole plant is all there in that little seed. All the life is there in the seed. What we saw this week, the message of Jesus is like a seed. The message of Jesus is like a seed. It doesn't seem like much. It's small, and yet there's all this life in that message. If you have Jesus, you've got everything. All the life is there in the message of Jesus. So the message of Jesus is like a seed. And when you read the Bible or you hear the Bible, it's like planting the seed. The Bible's all about Jesus. And if the message of Jesus is like a seed, then reading the Bible or listening to the Bible, well, that's like planting the seed. Every time you read the Bible for yourself or every time you read the Bible to your children, or every time, like this morning, we open up the Bible together and we think about it and we talk about it together, that's like planting good seeds. The message of Jesus is like a seed, and every time we read the Bible or share the Bible, it's like planting good seeds. Well, that reminds me of a couple of things. First of all, we do want to want to welcome all of our Art Camp families that are here this morning. We thank you for coming. And we do have a little gift that we want to share with you this morning. So make sure you don't leave until you get this from me. But for every family that's visiting, we do have a nice new Bible that we want to give you. And along with it, a welcome packet of information that just kind of explains what the Bible's all about. Who is Jesus? How do you become a Christian? How do you get to heaven? And some information about our church. Who are we? What's our denomination? And who do you contact if you ever need help? Well, you never know. Sometimes things come up in life and you need someone to talk to, or you might need some help. And all kind of information in here. So we want to give that to you as just a sort of our little gift to you. So make sure before you leave, speak to me this morning, and we want to give this little gift to you. That way, you can continue to read the Bible by yourself. You can continue to read the Bible with your kids. Maybe your kids want to read it, or you want to read it together as a family, and you can continue planting good seeds. The message of Jesus is like a seed, and reading the Bible and sharing the Bible and studying the Bible is like planting good seed. Now, that brings me to one other thing that I don't want to forget, and that is if you'll take out your bulletin and turn to the back of your bulletin. You may have to unfold a little bit. On the back of the bulletin, there should be an outline for this morning's message. Okay, hopefully you can find that. There should be an outline there with some blanks to fill in. And a lot of people find that it really helps them get more out of the message if they take the time to fill in the blanks. You know, sometimes our minds wander. Sometimes my mind wanders, and I'm the one up here talking. So I understand it. And so sometimes people say they enjoy the message more if they use the outline to follow along. Or sometimes your mind wanders, and then you can look back and you can look at the outline. Oh, here's where we are. So if you are filling in the blanks this morning, the answer to the first blank is Jesus, right? The answer to the first blank is Jesus. The message of Jesus is like a seed. And again, the answer to the second blank is the Bible. Okay, the message of Jesus is like a seed, and reading or hearing the Bible is like planting the seed. Okay, so we've been here at Art Camp, and we've been learning the Bible, and we've been talking about the Bible. We've been singing about it this morning. We've opened the Bible. So we're planting good seeds. What comes next? Well, when you plant a seed in your garden, you don't just plant a seed and then walk away. You've got to water it. You've got to water it. Well, if the message of Jesus is like a seed, and reading the Bible is like planting a seed, I want you to see this morning that the Lord is the one who gives the water. The Lord is the one who waters that seed in your heart. So look with me at our passage in the Bible. And before we do, I want to recognize a lot of people believe that the book of Revelation is too difficult to understand. A lot of people will say that. It's too complicated. It's too mysterious. Okay? You can't understand it. I don't think that's completely true. I think God has given us the book of Revelation to be a blessing to us. Okay? And I think you can understand it if you keep in mind the book of Revelation is a vision. It's visual. Okay? The apostle John is having a vision, and that means it's like watching a movie. The book of Revelation uses pictures. It uses images. It uses symbols. So I think if you keep that in mind, that as we read through this, to try to visualize it, picture it like a movie, I think you'll get a lot more out of our passage this morning. Okay, this is what it says. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. So here's John. He's having a vision, and in this vision, he sees a river. And it's a river of the water of life. And in the Greek, it can be translated the river of the water of life, or it can be translated the river of living water. Okay, either way, you get the idea. This is a river of living water, a water of life, a living river. And what does that mean? Well, you need water to live. You're like that seed, that plant in the garden. You need water to live. Scientists say that a person can survive up to 2 weeks without food. I personally wouldn't want to try it, but they say it's possible that you can live up to 2 weeks without food, but you have to have water. You absolutely have to have water. You're like that seed planted in the garden. You have to have water. You need water to live. Okay, well, this week the kids memorized Psalm 1, which is the passage we read together responsively as our call to worship. Psalm 1 talks about the blessed person, the person blessed by God. And it says he's like a tree planted by streams of water. The blessed person is like a big, healthy tree that's right there by streams of water, plenty of water. Okay, when you plant that seed in the garden, you don't give it just a drop of water, boop. Or when you come in from outside and you're thirsty, you don't give yourself just a drop of water, boop. No, when you go out in the garden, you plant that seed and then you give it lots of water. You get out the watering can, or you get out the hose and you give it plenty. You soak it with water. Or you come inside and you're thirsty, you get a big old glass of water and you're guzzling water. Okay, the blessed person is like a tree that's planted by streams of water. There's plenty of water. There's lots of water. You need lots of water to live. Here in the vision, John sees a whole river. Lots of water. All the water you need, more than enough. He sees a whole river of living water. It's interesting. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Ezekiel. And Ezekiel had a vision in which he saw a river. And it says, everywhere the river went, everything came to life. It was an interesting vision, because it's like, if you can imagine a river, and everywhere the river goes, everything's turning green, everything's growing, and it is a river of living water. It's a river of life. It brings life. That's the river John sees in his vision, a river of water of life. And the river represents God's Spirit. Okay, in the vision, the river represents God's Spirit. How do we know that? Well, it's a common image in the Bible. Okay, water often represents God's Spirit, but also there are some clues in our passage. It says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal. Okay, so this river is crystal clear. I mean, this water is clean, it's pure, it's perfect. You could drink this water. Okay, this water is not like Lawson's Fork Creek. I grew up in South Carolina near Lawson's Fork Creek, and we loved to play near the creek, and in places it was more like a river. I mean, it was 20 feet across, but that water was brown all my life. It was muddy. This is a vision, and this river is not like Lawson's Fork Creek. It's crystal clear. It's bright as crystal. The idea is almost like a light is bouncing off of it. It's sparkling. It's perfect. It's pure. Okay, this river represents God's Spirit, who is perfect and clear and pure. There's a reason we refer to God's Spirit as the Holy Spirit. Okay, because he's pure, is without sin. This river represents God's Spirit. And we know that in part because it's a familiar image in the Bible. We know it in part because it's crystal clear. But also, it says here, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, was flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, the Lamb represents Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, people would sacrifice a lamb, okay, to atone for their sins. Okay, sin has to be punished, okay, with death. People don't want to die, and so the lamb would be sacrificed. The lamb would die in our place. Well, John the Baptist said that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Lamb. He died on the cross in our place to take our punishment. So here is the Lamb. And earlier in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I have sat on the throne with my Father. So there's not two thrones, right? There's one throne, and it's a big throne, and Jesus is sitting on the throne with his Father. Well, now in this vision, it says the river of the water of life, flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The theologians say it like this: the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. We are committed to historic biblical Christianity. If you're familiar with any of the ancient creeds, like the Nicene Creed, we say the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The river represents the Spirit of God. Here in the vision, the Spirit of God, the river flows from the throne of God. And it's interesting because this is a theme that runs all the way through the Bible. the prophet Joel said, a fountain shall come forth from the house of the Lord. Zechariah said, on that day, living waters will flow out of Jerusalem. Okay. Psalm 46 says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The idea of this river represents God's spirit that brings life and joy and laughter. Kind of interesting. I mentioned the prophet Ezekiel had a vision of a river. In his vision, it doesn't start out as a river. It starts out as just a trickle coming out of the temple. And in Ezekiel's vision, there's an angel with a measuring rod, like a yardstick. And the angel comes and he's measuring how deep is this little trickle. And it keeps getting deeper. And at one point in the vision, the angel says, Ezekiel, come look at here. Look how deep it is. It's getting so deep you could swim in it. But in the book of Ezekiel, it starts off as just a trickle and it gets deeper and deeper. And it becomes a river. A river that you could swim in. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit and how God pours out his Spirit upon his people. Okay, the Spirit of God is the water of life that you need. Right? We need water to live. The Spirit of God is the water of life that you need. And Jesus gives us his Spirit to give us everlasting life. That's the image in our passage this morning. Earlier in the book of Revelation, it says, Jesus the Lamb will guide us to springs of living water. And sure enough, here's a picture. Jesus is on the throne and this river of living water flowing out of his throne to his people. Jesus said this in John chapter 4. Whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water I give will be in him like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So Jesus gives us his Spirit to give us everlasting life, real life, eternal life, not just temporary life, but real life in all of its fullness. Jesus gives us his Spirit to give us everlasting life and to cause us to grow. In John 7, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, whoever believes in Jesus, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And so if the message of Jesus is like a seed, and hearing the Bible is like planting that seed, the Lord, God, is the one who gives the water. He's the one who pours out his Spirit into our lives so that that seed will take root and really grow. God is the one who causes good things to grow. We can read the Bible, but God is the one who pours out his Spirit and gives us the water, okay? God is the one who gives us the water, and God is the one who gives us the light, okay? So you plant a seed in your garden, okay? That's step number one. Then you give it some water. That's step number two. But now, if you want this seed to grow and flourish, it's going to need some sunshine. It's going to need plenty of light, okay? Well, if the message of Jesus is a seed, and reading the Bible, it plants that seed in your heart, God is the one who's going to cause it to grow. God is the one who gives the water by pouring out his Spirit. And God is the one who gives the light by shining upon us and blessing us. So let's continue to look at our passage. John says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street. Well, what does that mean in this vision? The river is flowing through the middle of the street. Well, maybe it's showing us how abundant God is in giving out his Spirit. That he pours out his Spirit so much that it's a river. It's not just a drip. It's not just a trickle. It's a river that's overflowing, even overflowing into the street. Maybe that's the image, because God pours out his Spirit generously. But I think most scholars suggest that the image here is a boulevard. Okay, like the boulevard in Vineland, where one side of the street is maybe northbound and the other side of the street is southbound, but there's some grass or something in between. It's a boulevard. That may be the image here, where one side of the street is northbound and another side is southbound, and the river's in the middle. So that the centrality of the Spirit, the river is right there in the midst. That's so important that we have the Holy Spirit. He's right there in the middle. It says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, Now, in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve were not supposed to eat that fruit. But there was also another tree called the tree of life. And if you ate that fruit, you would live forever. Well, now in this vision, it says there is the tree of life on either side of the river. How can one tree be on either or both sides of the river? Maybe it's a really big tree. Maybe it's such a big tree that the river goes underneath it and the trees on both sides. Maybe, or maybe we have in the Greek what we sometimes call a collective noun. Okay, so that when you talk about the woods or you talk about a forest, you don't mean one tree. You mean lots of trees. And maybe that's the image here, is you have a boulevard with a river of life in the middle, and then maybe you have trees lining the streets of the city all down the sides of the river. That's the more likely image, or that's what most scholars suggest, that the word here, tree here, would refer to the trees, the woods, the forest. So instead of just one tree of life, there's one after another, all down the sides of the street, all down the sides of the river, with its 12 kinds of fruit. Well, now, a tree can only produce one kind of fruit. If it's a peach tree, it can produce peaches. If it's a pear tree, it can produce pears. A tree can only produce one kind of fruit. But in this vision, there's the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit. Well, again, if we're talking about lots of different trees, maybe it means some are apple trees and some are olive trees and some are peach trees and some are pear trees. But this is the heavenly city. This is the holy Jerusalem. So who knows? Maybe it means that every one of these trees produces 12 different kinds of fruit. You think of 12, you think of the 12 tribes of Israel or the 12 apostles. Think again, think about 12 months of the year. It says here, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Normally, there's just a few months of the year when trees produce fruit. And if you want fruit in the middle of winter, we've got to ship it in from California or from Florida, because around here it only grows a few months of the year. But in the heavenly city, fruit is growing all year long. Maybe the picture is that January is the month for apples, and February is the month for bananas, and maybe oranges grow in March. I mean, who knows? These images are meant to be evocative. There's pictures, there's images. It's meant to spur your imagination. The idea is, in the heavenly city, it's fruitful. That's the idea. That's the picture. And then it says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So whether we're talking about one tree or lots of trees, the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Well, what does that mean? Well, for Jewish people, the nations are those people out there, the people far from God, the people who don't know God, they've never heard about God, okay, they don't know anything about God. Jewish people, they had the Bible, they had the Hebrew Scriptures, they had the prophets, they had the priests, they had the temple. The Jewish people were considered the people of God. But the nations, they were considered far from God. They didn't know who God was, they didn't know anything about God, they didn't know God personally. They were considered far from God. But in the heavenly city, the leaves on the tree are for the healing of the nations. And then it says, no longer will there be anything accursed. Okay, this week we saw the prophet Jeremiah says, cursed is the man who trusts in himself, who turns away from the Lord. Okay, so if you say, I'm a good person, I don't need God, I can be good all by myself, I'm good enough, and in my heart I turn away from God, Jeremiah says, cursed is that person. That person is under God's curse. When I'm trusting that I'm good enough, I can be good by myself, Jeremiah says, cursed is that man. He's like a shrub in the desert, all dried up bush with thorns and thistles, and there's no life there, there's no fruit. Okay, when we trust in ourselves, when we turn away from God, okay, under God's curse. But then Jeremiah says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. When we trust in the Lord, that's when we have the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit within us. And we trust in the Lord, that's when we grow, and that's when we're fruitful. Well, the point here is that Jesus came to take away the curse. In ancient times, Romans would take two long pieces of wood, two long boards, and they would nail them together in the form of a cross, and they were used to put criminals to death. Okay? If you were arrested for some serious crime, you would be nailed to that cross. They would put nails through your wrist and through your feet, and then the cross would be lifted up and placed in a hole so it would stand up, and the criminal would hang there until he died. And it was a very slow, very painful, and very disgraceful way to die. You don't want people to be looking at you when you're being punished. It was a humiliating way of death. It was called crucifixion. Well, Romans typically would put those crosses up in a prominent place, okay, like at the top of a hill, because they want to say, this is what happens to you if you disobey the Romans. And if you were a Jewish person or anyone living back then, from a distance you see this hill and then you see three crosses sticking up. From a distance they look like trees. But as you get closer, you realize, well, those aren't really nice. I mean, there's not like big trees with shade. These aren't like fruit trees that I can get refreshment. These are like, something's wrong with these trees. They're skinny. They just have a few bare limbs sticking out. And you get closer and you think, oh, these really aren't good trees at all. These are crosses where bad people are put to death. But Jewish people sometimes referred to crosses as trees because that's kind of what they look like from a distance. Well, in the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, it says, cursed is the man who hangs from a tree. There's God's curse upon you if you're punished for something serious and you have to hang on a cross or hang from a tree. But Jesus came into the world, and a man of integrity, always brave, always honest, kind, merciful, true, faithful, always fulfilled the law of God, and yet Jesus was crucified. He hung on the cross to take away the curse. He took the curse for us. Remember, he's the Lamb of God who died to take away the sins of the world. So he died on the cross to take that curse for us. And so in our passage, it says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed. Jesus came to take away the curse and bring us close to God. If by nature we're far from God and we don't actually know anything about God or obey God, Jesus came to take away the curse and bring us close to God so we can enjoy him. That's the picture here. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. In other words, instead of God being far away, the throne of God will be right there in the middle of the city. Right there in the midst of all of us, right in the midst of the people. God will be right there. God will be up close. And it says, his servants will worship him. They'll see his face. Jesus came to take away the curse and bring us close to God so we can enjoy him, so we can know him face to face. It says they will see his face and his names will be on their foreheads. Now remember, this is a vision. This is an image. It's a picture. I don't think it necessarily means that in the New Jerusalem, we'll literally have something written on our forehead. It's a picture. It's an image. Maybe, but it's a picture. Okay. When do you write your name on something? Well, you write your name on something when it belongs to you. You write your name on something when it's important to you, when it's special to you. You don't want anything to happen to it. So if in this vision, God's name is written on their foreheads, it's a way of saying, we belong to God. God will be our God and we'll be his people. We'll belong to him. We'll be special to him. We'll be important to him. In the Old Testament, the high priest would put on his robes, his high priestly vestments before he goes to the temple. And that would include a turban. And the turban has a metal plate on it that would say, holy to the Lord. So that before he went into the temple, he puts this turban on that says, I belong to the Lord. I am dedicated to the Lord. He had the Lord's name right there on his forehead. Well, now John sees a vision of the holy city, the heavenly city, and God's name is written on our foreheads. I don't think it necessarily means it will literally be there, but we will belong to God. We'll be his people. We won't be far from him anymore. We'll be like priests. I mean, it says we'll see his face. His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. When you see somebody that you really are excited to see, your face lights up. You know, you beam, you're excited, your face lights up, your face shines. That's a common image in the Bible of blessing, that God smiles on you and his face shines upon you. In fact, the high priest was told to bless the people like this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, that's his face, and give you peace. That's a picture of blessing, when God looks on you and he smiles on you. Well, Jesus came to earth. He always walked faithfully with God. And God the Father always smiled on Jesus. Even though life was very difficult, Jesus was often misunderstood. He was even betrayed by his own friends and followers. Yet God the Father always smiled on Jesus. Jesus always enjoyed fellowship and friendship with the Heavenly Father. But when Jesus was crucified, when he died on the cross, in the middle of the day, it suddenly grew very dark. In the middle of the day, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, it suddenly grew very, very dark. And that was God's way of showing that in that moment, he was not shining on Jesus. He was not blessing his son. But it was as if God turned his back on Jesus for that moment. Because at that moment, Jesus was bearing our sin. He was bearing our curse. And it's like Jesus was cursed so that we could be blessed. He came to take away that darkness so he could shine upon us, so he could smile upon us, so he could give us blessing. Our sins paid for, and now he can smile upon us and bless us so we can grow. Again, it says, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. His servants will worship him. They'll see his face. The idea of God's blessing. He smiles on you. He shines on you. He's pleased with you. He loves you. Jesus came to take away the darkness and to shine upon us. And that's what it says in verse 5. Night will be no more. There'll be no more night. Now remember, this is an image, so we don't know how much is going to be literally true, but it's a picture. It's teaching us something. It says, night will be no more. There'll be no need. There'll need no light of lamp or sun. I don't know if that literally means we won't have flashlights or lamp posts, but we won't need them, it says, because the Lord God will be their light. The image there is that God will be in our midst and he'll be smiling on us. That's the image. He'll be blessing you. He'll be pleased with you. We'll have that intimate, fresh, rejoicing, wonderful relationship with God where he's just looking on you all day long and smiling and beaming on you. That's the picture here. That if the message of Jesus is like a seed and reading the Bible is like planting that seed, God is the one who causes good things to grow. He's the one who gives the water by pouring out his spirit, and he's the one who gives the light, okay, by smiling on you and blessing you and causing that message in your heart to grow. You know, many years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he says, I planted. And what Paul means is he was the first one to go to Corinth and give them the message of Jesus. And then later, Paul left. He went to another city, and another preacher came along named Apollos. So Paul says, I planted, and Apollos watered. It's like Paul did the first step, planting the seed. Apollos came and did the next step of watering. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gave the life. Okay, that's the picture, okay? If the message of Jesus is a seed and reading the Bible is planting the seed, God is the one who gives the growth. He's the one who causes good things to grow. He gives the water of his spirit and the light of his countenance. Okay, so very, very quickly, if you want to grow and you want your kids to grow, okay, you want your family to grow, you want to grow in the Lord, you want to grow as a Christian people, you want your children to grow, what do you need to do? Three things really quickly. They're there in your outline. Number one, keep reading and listening to the Bible, okay? You don't just plant one seed and walk away. You plant lots of seeds. We saw that in the ancient world, people would cast seeds. That is, they would call it sowing seeds. Not just one seed, but lots of seeds and lots of seeds. You don't just come to church once. You don't just read your Bible once. You want to keep reading the Bible and keep listening to the Bible and keep studying the Bible and keep coming with us and reading and learning about the Bible together. So you keep planting good seeds in your heart and in your children's heart. That's the first thing. Keep reading and listening to the Bible. Number two, get rid of bad words, bad thoughts, and bad actions. You can plant a seed in your garden. and you can water it and then get plenty of sunshine. But you gotta be careful because the weeds are gonna start to grow. And you can get all kind of weeds in there that's choking up the good seed and the good plant. So if you want a good garden, you gotta be prepared to pull out the weeds. Okay? If the message of Jesus is like a seed and reading the Bible is planting that seed, well, you can read your Bible, but you got to get rid of the bad words, the bad thoughts, the bad actions. You got to pull up the seeds, the weeds that are going to choke out the good seed. Okay, so keep reading and listening to the Bible. Get rid of bad words, bad thoughts, and bad actions. And finally, turn to Jesus for his help and blessing. Again, Jeremiah said, "Cursed is the man who trusts in himself." He's like a shrub in the desert, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water. Sunflowers have an uncanny way of turning to face the sun. Lots of flowers, lots of plants do that, but especially sunflowers are famous for that. They'll turn to face the sun. Okay, you need to get rid of the weeds, the bad things in your life. You turn away from those things, but you also need to turn to Jesus. You got to look to him. He's the one who makes good things grow. He's the one who can give you the water of his spirit. He's the one who can give you the light of his smile, of his blessing. So you need to turn to Jesus, look to Jesus. We talked about prayer this week, and we said prayer's just talking to God. You just need to ask God, Lord, please forgive me and pour out your spirit on me and forgive me and bless me. You need to turn to Jesus for his help and blessing. The Apostle Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the kind of fruit I want to see in my life. That's the kind of tree I want to be. That's the kind of tree we want our kids to be. I can't just decide I'm going to be more gentle. I'm going to be more patient. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. The Spirit of God is the one who produces gentleness and patience and real love within us. And so we need to turn to Jesus for his Spirit. Jesus cried out. He says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. That's what he said. He said, you're thirsty. Life feels like a desert. You feel all dried out. He says, turn to me and drink. He says, and then in fact, this is how the book of Revelation ends. We're already in chapter 22. If you want to look down to verse 17, that's practically the very end of the Bible. It says, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. It's free. God's Spirit is free. God's blessing is free. You just got to ask for it. You know. So let me encourage you this morning, turn to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus for his help and blessing. God is the one who causes good things to grow. All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for a wonderful week. We thank you for all the kids and the families and all the teachers and the helpers. Thank you for today and for our luncheon and our opportunity to just relax and to celebrate and catch up with each other and meet one another. We thank you so much. And we pray this morning that our hearts would turn to you. We pray that we would look to you. We've heard your word, and the seed has been planted. We ask that you would pour out your spirit on us. We pray that you would smile on us and give us the light of your countenance, the light of your blessing. And we pray that you would cause the message of Jesus to really take root in our hearts and grow. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.